Hey y'all, this is GoForest. I'm just taking a moment to be kind of sincere for a minute, and I'm sure we're going to have everybody go back to making dick jokes and whatnot. But anyway, the main thing I'm just calling about is, you know, all these this arsons that happened a few hours from where I live, with this dickhead went and burned down a bunch of historically black churches. And the reason why I'm talking about it also right now is it's being investigated by our state's attorney general as a hate crime. Now, I'm by no means saying the black metal scene is responsible for that or got anything to do with this or anything like that, but our deniability is much less than I would like it to be because, in fact, the black metal scene has tolerated these fascists and bigots and other vermin like this for way, way too long, you know. They've kind of infested us. And it's maybe we need to take a long, hard look at ourselves and see why that is and if we want to continue to allow it to be this way. Maybe we should, you know, kick them out if we can. You know, don't buy their CDs, don't go to their shows, tell them to fuck off. Anyway, I know I'm sounding kind of obnoxious, and I ain't saying nothing that ain't been said before, nothing like that. But I felt I needed to say something in some way. Thank you guys. Still love your show. It's excellent. Anyway, y'all have fun.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
You are listening to the Toilet of Hell radio show. I am 365 Days of Horror, and with me is...
What's going on, buddy? What's up? You got a little cold there?
And it's just, we're in week three of Joe not being here. We are living the life. I have not eaten a vegetable in weeks. I have just watched all the violent Japanese wrestling I can handle. It's just been a blast, man. I hope he never comes back.
Yeah, he won't. I have confirmation here that Joe Thrash and Kill, we ran a poll, and he's not coming back. Everybody wanted him to come back, but I threw the poll out, and you won't get the results. I don't want him back personally at all, so... I'm having too much fun, man. I've eaten cookies for breakfast. I've eaten a different flavor of cookies for lunch, and then for dinner I had ice cream in between cookies. A variety of cookies, just, you know, it's like a cookie sandwich, but instead of one chocolate chip and then another chocolate chip on the bottom, which is just, you know, it's fucking normie shit. I have just an oatmeal raisin, and then a white macadamia nut. And then I stick an Oreo into the side of the ice cream.
We in the junk food business call that the Chipwich Gangbang.
Chipwich Gangbang. That's,
What the fuck is going on here? What are you doing eating this Big Mac of cookies and ice creams? Why is this place is a fucking mess? The hell happened?
We were just going to do a podcast about how extremely handsome and amazing you are.
Wow, it's so great to see you. You look so handsome.
Handsome.
What is this shit of hoping I never come back and calling me a dumb man who is bad and not good?
No. I didn't say I wanted you to never come back. I said I wanted you to come on my back if you pulled out from my ass because you are so fucking handsome, man.
Let's start the show. Hi, everybody. It's Joe Thrash and Kill. I have journeyed halfway across the globe and then back again, which I think equals one full globe, to be here with you for this very special episode of the Toilet of Hell radio show. I don't know what makes it special other than, gosh, I'm just so glad to be back and to see you fellas again. You know, I listened to the show last week. You did kill me off at the very beginning, but that's fine. Because I'm back now, and we can be friends again. And I've got all this... backed up podcast juice that's just raring to come out, you know?
Well, I mean, we didn't kill you off. It was an unnamed assassin who spared your pugs.
That's good.
When you got home, did you just mash your face into your dog's?
So I didn't get home until pretty late on Sunday, and then of course I had to go to work the next morning early, so I didn't get them until Monday after work, but they seemed incredibly stoked to see me again and then proceeded to be little petty tyrants for the rest of the day.
Yeah, it's a thing with dogs. Dogs are really stoked at first to see you, but then they give you kind of the cold shoulder for a while because you left them, and so they have to emotionally distance from you just a little bit.
Yeah, they I have to put them in boarding again for another few days, starting like Wednesday, so we're gonna have a time reconnecting with their trust. But I'm back and everything's okay, I guess. The site kept running, which is quite frankly, fantastic. I'm so proud of Pat for doing that. And
yeah, a statistical impossibility, but it happened anyway.
And my house was still standing, and the cats hadn't destroyed it completely, which is nice.
In Texas, that's a very statistical impossibility.
Yeah, apparently there's all kinds of real fucked up weather going on, like golf ball size hail and shit like that. So, hey, it's still up. Still have a place to live. Everything's pretty much coming up, Joe. For folks that somehow don't follow the inner workings of my life, I don't know why you wouldn't. I got married and then immediately went on our honeymoon because my wife and I talked when we decided that we would rather die than have to go back to work immediately after getting married. Than, you know, so that's what we did. We went to The glorious Nippon, I think that's how that's pronounced. I learned precisely zero Japanese while I was in Japan for 2 weeks. So, you know, dumb American doing the best I can.
Wow. That's amazing. So how the fuck was it, man? What did you do? Did you go anywhere? Did you drink anything? Did you see anything?
So I did some things. I saw some things. I drank some things. I experienced some things. Overall, I would say that it was a very good experience. My wife and I were extremely sick for our wedding and then for like the first week of this trip, but we still fought through it and made the best of it. Pretty sure we had pneumonia.
When you said sick, I assumed you were both wearing like sleeveless leather vests and came on Harleys. but that sounds less fun. But before you get into Japan, you got to actually talk about the wedding a little bit, don't you?
Yeah. Okay, I'll be totally honest with you guys. I didn't necessarily want to have a wedding because I feel weird about getting a lot of attention. And a wedding itself is you have your friends and family come together to pour attention on you, and that feels a little strange to me, gonna be honest. But we did it anyway, and we actually had a really it was a great time. I'm so glad that we did it. I got to see a bunch of friends, a bunch of family. Got to see Debbie and Leif Berikson made it out and put on their fine. I'm pretty sure they both wore jeans. Wait. No, Leif Berikson wore a vest and a tie because he's fancy.
Wow, that's amazing. I'd like to see pictures of that. Well, they exist. I just have to see them.
I did see a picture of you, Joe, and you were wearing a bolo tie, correct?
That is correct.
That makes me so happy.
I got a Western cut suit from Etsy from the 70s and put on a bolo tie that I stole from my stepdad. Because we got married outside of Austin and in the country, this place, it was this rustic, tiny little church on a big stretch of ranch. So I figured I might as well dress the part, you know?
And I will assume that you drove away in a stretch limo with cattle horns on it. Because that is, don't ruin Texas for me. That's how I assume everyone drives around.
No, I left in my own pickup truck because... Man, we—it's the same thing with how we treat the toilet of hell. We jam econo. Everything is as cheap and as DIY as possible.
Did you at least tie some empty cans of like Modelo at the back while you drove away?
Oh, shit, I should have done that. I bought something like 200 cans of Lone Star and cheap champagne for the wedding, and I right now have 100 cans of Lone Star in my fridge because my because my family doesn't drink.
That'll get you through the week.
Yeah, maybe. Ostensibly, this is a metal podcast, and so folks might be wondering what we did for music for the wedding. We didn't hire a DJ because you guys have been to weddings with a DJ, right?
Oh God, yeah, it's fucking terrible.
The worst fucking
YMCA.
It's like, come on, everybody, get moving, get on the dance floor. Let's listen to Baha Men, and it's a terrible thing to do to the people that you love.
Specifically, I went to my younger brother's wedding, and his wife is very Polish, and they had this one of their Polish relatives DJ for this fairly small hall, but like his DJ equipment was extremely loud, and he was just thumping ludicrous electronica from the perfect little country of Poland, just blaring.
Did they
all night?
Did they play Rednecks? Cotton Eye Joe?
You know, I think that was probably the one American song they must have actually played.
I think those guys are Polish as well, actually.
I think they're Swedish.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I figured the Polish DJ would have played the classic Polish hit "We Did Nothing Wrong" from 1939 to 1945.
Yes.
They play the chicken dance. That's a big thing among Mexican and Czech people. There's that weird crossover there. I don't get it.
Are you asking me if they play the chicken dance?
Yeah, I was asking if they played that.
I was just so offended I didn't even give you an answer. Yes, they did.
Oh, perfect.
No, I don't remember. It was terrible. It was this wedding. Okay, I'm seeing and talking to relatives I haven't seen in God knows how long, and it's just the whole fucking time. And we've asked him to turn on repeatedly, and repeatedly he refused. So that was awesome.
I've also been to weddings where the couple inexplicably hires a full band to play during it. So it's the same shit. You hear the same fucking songs, just with a less talented band. And it costs like 15 times more than that. Have you ever been to one of those?
Yeah, my own. we hired a band. It was this kind of 50s, early 60s themed band, sort of sock hoppy. They did a great job. It was a lot of fun. They played everything we wanted to. So
that's good, because I feel like I keep getting stuck going to events with basically seeing the same band. People doing like Black Eyed Peas songs.
Oh man, it's either that, or it's like a bunch of dads, like red faced dads in tuxedos and like wraparound sunglasses and goatees, playing all the same 70s hits we've heard a million times.
Oh yeah. I am well familiar with that kind of band. They'll call themselves like the Cadillacs with three X's at the end.
Oh yeah.
And then the rival band, the Pontiacs, with three X's at the end. No, instead, what we did is I went and I grabbed my my iPhone, and I connected it to the PA speaker that was provided there, and at a reasonable volume, I played this playlist of music that my wife and I put together, mostly like country songs from like the 40s and 50s and 60s and such. And some rockabilly and stuff like that, you know, just a real down-home Texas kind of thing. And, yeah, folks seem to like it. I did sneak the Monster Mash on the playlist, though, which was a thing that I demanded.
It should have just been the Monster Mash over and over again.
That's what I wanted to do initially. I got turned down on that one.
Vetoed on that, huh?
Yep.
When I say I do, I want to hear "Tell Them Boris Sent You."
So, yeah, I very much appreciate my new wife for putting up with all of my bullshit and allowing me to put the Monster Mash on our wedding playlist.
At least one time.
Yep.
And, yeah, I mean, God, man, congratulations. Big step. Big deal. But then you find you come back together the next day and you're really just the same people in love. So you just kind of keep on keeping on.
Yeah, and I mean, for us, it was we woke up the next day after the wedding, feeling somehow even worse than the day that we were feeling on the wedding, which was a trend that would continue, unfortunately. By the time the flight to Japan took us about 16 hours, and by the time we landed, I was legitimately concerned that they were going to turn me away at customs for being too sick.
Well, you made it. You snuck in somehow.
Yeah.
You just kind of, they looked at you and they figured you were as white as you were supposed to be. So.
Yeah. I also had a bag of kratom in my duffel bag, and they didn't search through any of our shit. So, you heard it here, folks. If you're white enough, you can smuggle drugs into Japan. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying you should do that, but I'm saying theoretically you could do that.
Well, don't you get like a massive punishment for that?
Oh yeah, yes. Yeah. They're so serious there about that shit. we went to Japan. We went to the first spot we went was Akihabara, which the weebs among you will know as otaku heaven. Essentially, that's where they got all them animes, and it's where they got all them mangas and them their Vigi games and such. It was a very strange experience, especially because these giant anime stores are all punctuated with like maid cafes and cat girl themed massage parlors and some really seedy looking shit.
Sick. Now I gotta ask, because I don't ever think I had the chance to, but why did you guys pick Japan for a destination?
So it's a place that I've always wanted to check out, just because, I don't know, man, the way that we grew up, like, you know, in the 80s and 90s and such, it was like, Japan is the place of the future, and they're gonna take all of our jobs because they're so much better at everything than we are. I like the food, and I like video games. And I wanted to do some hiking in some mountains and see some ancient temples and shit, and basically I got all of that out of the trip. Of course, the dark underbelly to Japan is the anime problem.
Is it? Sounds like the great pride of their nation.
You know, it's everybody's really fucking into anime, like everybody. It's I mean, I guess there are probably a few Japanese people that don't care for it, but it seemed like, from its representation literally everywhere, that it's a thing that people jam on. Fuck. I went to this curry restaurant, and it was playing this really laid-back, like, jazz, like, from the, you know, like, Coltrane and stuff like that. And then it was interrupted by 20 minutes of these cat girls that were... It was some kind of anime had, like, done a partnership with the restaurant where they were, like, promoting each other somehow, and interrupting this smooth jazz and this nice dinner was this loud 20-minute conversation between these cat girls talking about God knows what, I guess curry and watching their anime.
Some nonsense. They know just a bunch of gibberish that no one knows.
Particle physics.
Yeah, something like that. So, it was that was a thing. They love the anime. Akihabara, of all the places that you could go to in Japan, put that somewhere near the bottom. It's not. It's a lot of big buildings, and there's nothing visually appealing to see other than sweaty nerds combing through various media in big ass shops that dot the entire place. I did go to a place called Super Potato, which is a destination stop for vintage video game aficionados, and picked up a couple of items for our lovely Spear, because he can speak and read Japanese, and wanted to play some RPGs that were dirt cheap over there but insanely expensive in the US. So he'll get that in a package fairly soon.
Did you get a chance to check out any of the instrument shops?
I did, as a matter of fact. I walked into... Just total happenstance, my lady saw some clothing store she wanted to go into, and I looked across the street, and I saw that they had the ESP factory, the custom factory.
Oh, fuck yeah!
Yeah, man. I walked in, and I was, like, blown away by the shit that they had, all of these custom instruments that they had on the rack for sale, and there aren't like a, at least I didn't encounter a ton of Japanese folks that were very confident in their English enough to like try to carry on a conversation with you. But the sales guy at the ESP factory had pretty good English, and he really wanted to sell me a guitar, and he was really close to doing it.
Oh, man. Bummer. Yeah, everybody stop listening. Me and Joe are just going to talk fucking gear the rest of the show. Oh, gear. Ooh.
They had a couple of custom guitars for the fellas in Metallica hanging up on the wall. Like, they had, like, variants that they had made for them. And they had, like, their signatures all over it. And just, man, like, their custom shop, just such beautiful instruments. I have an ESP, it's like a Les Paul copy, pretty much. And it's my favorite guitar. It's cheap as shit, but out of all the guitars I've ever played, it's my favorite. So you can imagine how bad I wanted, like, the premium shit.
Ah, fuck it, man. I hear it's tough to actually get a guitar out of Japan, and we'll drop the gear conversation after this, but I think there's some sort of issue as far as like what woods you can actually like export out of the country.
Interesting.
So I've heard that if someone were to actually go fly to Japan and buy a guitar, they might actually have a tough time bringing it out through customs.
Well, from my on how it's... and I, you know, this is just one man's experience, but for me, customs did not give a shit about anything that we had. They didn't even look at our bags. They just pushed us through. So my feeling is that with Japan and the United States have such a relationship that it's probably fine. What? Just fucking go for it. Whatever.
The solution is to buy your guitar there and then just cover it in kratom.
Oh, good idea. Yeah. That way you've got a tasty treat. I was next to the ESP factory was a Disc Union, one of their record stores. The entire third floor was devoted to nothing but metal. And I bought a big handful of Japanese, I don't know what they are, just demo, basically demo cassettes from local bands, just to see kind of what's on them, because I have no idea. I thought I was really close to getting Jordan. I was close to getting you a Baby Metal shirt from there, but I wasn't sure exactly which size would fit you.
Extra handsome.
Yeah, who knows?
And here's the thing: I would have worn it too.
I know you would have.
Crop top.
But it feels like I can't. I'm a normal size man. I think I'm like average in the United States. And I wanted to buy a pair of sneakers while I was in Japan because everybody has cool sneakers. My feet, literally, they did not have any shoes that fit me there. It was I went to a store that had the King's Corner, which is like the plus size for them, and they still didn't have anything that fit. I don't have huge feet, man.
What size are you?
I'm an 11 and a half.
Really? I'm a 12, man. I'm not going to Japan. They were just fucking... They'd like scream and run. So,
yeah, people are not huge over there. I think that was the biggest, strangest thing is going back to the airport in the United States and being like, "What the fuck? Why are we so big?"
not enough fish and sweet potato in our diet.
Yeah, that too. Also, I mean, like, people rely, you know, almost entirely on public transportation and walking everywhere over there, which is something that is not okay in the United States. People look at you funny when you walk somewhere.
Did you get crammed into a subway?
Holy fucking shit, dude. I think we've all seen a video of, you know, people being pushed by attendants into the train. Yeah, that's a real thing. We got jammed in that bitch. Nobody has any kind of sensory awareness of their body. They just don't. You'll get bumped into a million times. It's infuriating.
Man, I would have had a massive panic attack if that was me.
Yeah, you know, it's not ideal, but the Shinkansen, the bullet train, that's a different experience altogether, where you get like an assigned seat, you got room to stretch out. Mm-hmm. Kicks ass. We need bullet trains in the U.S. immediately.
I agree. We should get that one they talk about on the on that there Stephen Hawking show that goes around the Earth so fast that it travels through time.
The Snowpiercer?
Sure.
Superman 1?
Yeah, I don't know. They were talking about how technically the only way we could travel to the future is if we had like a bullet train that went the speed of light around the Earth. And I was like, I bet they could build that in Japan.
Yeah, Elon Musk is on it right now. But something that I think that is maybe more relevant to our show, and now that we're like fucking 23 minutes in. Sorry, guys. I went to, we traveled from Tokyo, which is a sprawling metropolis that is suffocating and that you can't see any kind of landmark of nature in any way. It's just nothing but buildings and people. And took the bullet train to Kyoto, which is much, much calmer. It's a kind of a big tourist city because that's where a ton of UNESCO World Heritage temples and castles are. And in that city, we went down a basement and we went and saw a dang old Japanese metal show.
Sick.
And the police were there, apparently.
Yeah. They found out you brought Kratom across another company for you.
Fuck. They're after me, man. Ah, I thought I could get away with that half baggie of Kratom.
Cheese it.
I was a fool. We showed up to this thing hilariously late because I know nothing of Japanese customs, I guess. There were like 9 bands on the bill. They started at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and we got there at around 8, so we missed half the bands. I didn't realize this, but I learned from talking to an attendee that the train stopped running in Kyoto around 11 o'clock, and if you don't, you know, most of the musicians live, you know, pretty far outside of that city. If you don't get on that last train, you're kind of stuck there for the rest of the night. You can get a cab, but cab prices double when the trains stop running.
Isn't that convenient?
Yeah, crazy, right? So shows start early and they start on time. Which is, I guess that's a thing that maybe we could adapt from the Japanese as well.
Yeah, we should just stop doing... I think we should stop doing shows that run past... I think final note should be played at 10 o'clock and everybody goes home.
I mean, it's a little hard to get away from work to get to, like, a 7 p.m. slot for me. But if you start at, like, 7:30, maybe 8, you only have 3 bands on. We ended at 11. I think that's pretty ideal for me, man.
That's ideal, man. Like, Jordan and I, we saw 3 bands, and they were great bands. They didn't have to play so long, you know? Just 3 bands and make the tickets cheaper, and everybody's happy. You don't have to have 40 fucking bands on a stupid-ass inside festival. No one wants to see that.
Well, what if it's a... What if it's at FET, though?
Oh, well, that's different, because it's the FET.
Is that how you pronounce that?
No, it's pronounced fat if you look at the promoter who...
got him! Got his ass!
Oh, no. I can't talk, but I'll call people fat I don't like. I don't care.
I mean, you have that right.
That's right.
That's our word.
Dumb fat bastard. Fat fuck. Fuck you.
So, we ended up getting to see... 3.5 bands out of this bill, and it's more like 2.25, really. I got to see this band Funeral Moth, and they were one of the few bands that were easily accessible for Westerners on the internet, because they have a lot of stuff online. It's in English, so you can easily search for it, which is a big challenge for a lot of these bands, and a lot of reason why they're totally unknown in the U.S. is because we don't can't read kanji. Kanji? Don't at me on this one.
Kanji.
Yeah.
Kanji.
But Funeral Moth, which is, I want to say, like, post-doom, maybe like post-funeral doom, because it is very, very slow. But also, it does things compositionally that I don't ever hear doom bands do, and that their structures, though slow, are incredibly complex. And it's really, really interesting music. I put it on the train on the way to Kyoto, and I did fall asleep listening to it, but that doesn't mean that it was bad. It's just that it's soothing compared to...
It's time travel music.
Yeah.
You listen to it, and then suddenly you snap out of it, and you're, like, somewhere else, or time has passed somehow.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the band that I really wanted to see on the bill, so I was stoked that we got there pretty much right as they were going on. They had some problems with their bass amp, but I was just so stoked to be there and enjoying seeing them and seeing the crowd that it didn't matter to me. I thought it was a lot of fun, and I'd encourage folks to go and check out Funeral Moth, because that's fun. Well, it's not fun. It's actually in, you know, kind of a bummer in a way, but it's good music.
It's a good bummer, you know. Sometimes we just need to be bummed out.
Exactly. Following that was a guy named Jotsun Sushi, I think was what his name was. I apologize if I get that wrong. I don't have it written down in front of me, and if I did, I probably still couldn't read it. It was a fella who was holding an Epiphone Junior, the best guitar ever made, and he was wearing a beret, and he made noise.
I love it.
And Brittany was really into it at first when he was doing like some cool ambient noises, and then by the time he was just like, you know, duck walking around making loud feedback and shit, she was like, all right, I'm out of here. I'm not gonna totally recommend that, but okay, so the headliner of the event was this band called Eat, and they actually began their set by doing a collaboration with this Jotsun Sushi guy, and I did not know what to expect. I'd never heard of these guys. It was the most insanely hard shit. It ruled my asshole. And I can't stress enough like how fucking pumped I was once they started riffing, and like, it's they gave me a demo tape that had their collaboration together of Eat and Jotsun Sushi, and I'm gonna rip that and I'll make everybody listen to it. But okay, so it's a 3-piece band. It's a vocalist who is incredibly talented. There's a guitar player who has long hair and a like a BC Rich and whips his head back and forth and kicks ass. And there's a guy that handles drum machines and synthesizers. It's like industrial sludge. And that Jotsun dude was actually whipping ass and making noise for like that first song. And people were getting fucking rowdy. I was feeling the music, and I was feeling the need to like reach out and, you know, hit somebody in a comradely manner.
Any moshing in Japan?
There was a little bit of movement there. The space that we were in was incredibly small, about smaller than my living room. But there was some movement. People were getting a little bit rowdy. I think that at punkier shows, you'd probably see a lot more pitting.
I'd love to see some Japanese dudes just throw some hands.
I don't know if they have the same kind of guys that we have here, of like the flat brim cap guy that crowd kills.
They should. I'm going to bring it over. I'm going to teach them the ways of the mosh.
Yeah, it's like it's like importing what are they called? Invasive species.
Right. Just exactly. Things that just would happen by accident and be unwanted and would ruin a culture. We were talking on the last show how possibly Japanese people love KFC. Was that the deal there? I mean, do you see a lot of tried and true stuff that you would see in America over there?
Yeah, I saw a fair number of KFCs around. I think that, and they all had this creepy statue of Colonel Sanders on the outside of it. I don't know what the deal with that is. Apparently, that's like their go-to on Christmas. Is that a thing that you've heard of?
That's what we were talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not just for Christmas. There were people lined up for KFC everywhere, man. I did try a McDonald's because I heard that their teriyaki egg burger thing was legit. And it's a lie. It's a garbage burger, just like every burger from McDonald's.
See, I would have gone there and I would have tried to eat a Big Mac there to see if it was just consistent, you know, as equally as terrible as you can get them in America. Because that's important to me. I want consistency. If I want a Big Mac, I want a Big Mac.
that was Ray Kroc's ideal. He wanted consistency at every McDonald's. You would go in, you would eat a burger that gave you diarrhea, and you would wash it down with a refreshing Coke.
Now, we don't get true consistency unless you have, like, a surly, pissed-off teenager running the cash register. Is that still true in Japan?
No. As a matter of fact, every person we encountered in, like, a service industry setting was unfailingly kind to us.
Wow. Yeah. Amazing.
It's fucked up, man.
I want to go, man. It's like, fuck, you guys call me a weeaboo. I didn't go to Japan. It sucks. I'll go. I want to go. Hey, everyone started GoFundMe to get me over to Japan so I can show them how to mosh.
Just going to be upfront and honest with you. I, like, the places we were staying, the cramped confines of buildings and stairways and everything, I don't know how, like, bigger dudes could possibly navigate Japan. It seems like a nightmare for an average sized dude. It is already pretty difficult. I was hitting my head in a couple places.
Well, pro wrestling is big there. Those are all big guys and big ladies too, so they must have special arrangements.
Yeah, it's like, what was it that Andre the Giant did to make it on flights? Drank an entire
drink bottles of wine.
That's the move.
I'll just
like Wade Boggs, right?
Boss Hog.
I'll just go to Sumo Village, man. That's all I'll do.
You're gonna what?
Go to Sumo Village.
Yeah. We just missed a sumo tournament right before we got there, but that is a thing that I would like to see. How big are these fellas really? You know, I heard Yokozuna was 500 pounds, but I think Vince McMahon might have been lying.
He was also Samoan and not Japanese.
What the,
so.
What? You can't... Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have I been lied to my entire life? Is the WWF just horrific racial caricatures?
Yeah.
No. That part's not true. But he was Samoan.
Huh.
And also an extreme pain ruined. His whole life.
Wait, he was in extreme pain in his entire life?
I can only assume so. Dude's 500 pounds and he's, you know... Didn't last too long. Isn't Yokozuna a late and great?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, they're all dead.
We're back on task, man. Now we're back to the relevant stuff.
Everybody dies. Name a wrestler.
Oh boy, Jake the Snake Roberts.
Dead.
Did Jake the Snake die? Did I miss that?
No, he's still alive.
Still alive. You pull a fast one on me, man. I was about to go on Twitter and be like, "My condolences to the family."
Let's try again. Name another wrestler.
The thing is, I know wrestlers who are alive.
Well, shit.
So this isn't really fair, you know. Like, I have an idea that some of them are alive. Like, like Blue Meanie. That's one I haven't thought of in a while.
Oh, definitely dead.
Blue Meanie's not dead.
He's alive.
No way he's dead.
Macho Man Randy Savage, dead. John Cena, dead. The Undertaker, undead.
So you were gone for two whole weeks, and you're on vacation, you were having fun, you were far away from the Michigas of real world. But as entrenched we are in the metal world, did you feel like you were missing out on things?
Not in the least bit. It was actually rather... freeing to not look at the news or obsessively check social media, because when I was awake, everyone else was asleep, so there was nothing going on.
You did check a little bit, though.
Yeah, of course. Had to upload some pictures that we were taking, because, well, everybody needs to see my vacation photos. But
the world needs to know.
But I'm back in the grind now. And I'm ready to get back obsessively involved with all the minutia that's going on. What has been going on?
So I think by the time you left, at least on hashtag metal Twitter, there was a big blow up talking once again about Nazism and black metal. And I think kind of people were expressing their thoughts and their feelings and kind of letting it known that this is a bad thing. And that maybe you shouldn't listen to this band and that band, because it was kind of on the heels of horn of having a whole bunch of shows canceled on the U.S. tour and being forced to, like, cancel the replacement show and cancel the replacement show. So it kind of sprung up from that.
Well, a lot of it was based on the fact that Horna was playing these shows anyway. Like, they were getting house shows and finding alternate venues, things like that. And we'll just come out and say it, man. Pretty much the eye of the storm in regards to metal Twitter, it's always Kim Kelly from formerly from Noisy. It's always her. Whenever she says anything, there's a billion hot takes that surround her. Because I think she's probably one of the more prominent figureheads in regards to, like, modern metal journalism. So whenever she kind of comes out with any sort of statement in regards to anything, there's always a ton of chattering in either opposition or in support of what she says. So this time it was a lot of chattering that was negative in regards to her stance on Horna and everything else. So you had a lot of guys who, I mean, God, they didn't come out and agree with Nazism, but the gaslighting was real. I mean, it's just a lot of shit about how this isn't a problem. Everybody's talking about Nazis under their bed. I mean, just they think that Nazis are everywhere around every corner and they're a real problem when they're not. And if you would go on I can't think of the URL.
Encyclopedia Metallum.
That's the stupid URL that they should just call it instead of Metal Archives. But they say that they're using the fucking number of nationalist, socialist lyrical themes, like, as the scope of the problem. And
so,
yeah, a lot of back and forth.
Okay, I feel like this is kind of a thing that we might have discussed it once or twice, but I reckon that maybe there are, I don't know, let's just, 90% of black metal bands are fucking racist as shit.
Or at least have a member that is.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing, and that's how a lot of bands get in trouble, is because they share members. Like, the whole thing with Horna is that they share members with Pest in a War, which is, just out and out. Probably, they gotta be contender for number one most racist in the game, you know?
Yeah, I think Peste Noir is pretty up there. Then we got Peste Noir and Graveland are like the dirty duo, you know? They're the ones that they're on everybody's shit list the most.
Yeah, Graveland, though, he's tried to, Rob Dorkin, he's tried to distance himself over the last couple of years, whereas that piece of shit from Peste Noir, he's like, this is my time.
Yeah, he's doubling down. He's doing blackface. He's having lots of fun.
Yeah.
So, and Rob Trudukin will come out and say that he's not, it's like, well, Graveland's not political. It's just, I hate Jews, personally.
Please don't cancel my shows.
So please don't cancel. I like your Rob Darkin. That's a good one.
I have no idea where this guy is from, but from now on, that's what I believe he sounds like.
He just sounds like Goofy Dog.
You look.
So I apologize, Jordan. You said that you were seeing a thing upon the Twitter, as you do.
Yes, as Twitter is known to do, it has many a bad hot take. And since you're back now, and kind of as a wedding gift to you, and we haven't done one in a couple weeks, would you like to have a dramatic reading?
I would like nothing more.
All right, here we go. As someone who has spent a lot of time researching black metal and Nazism, I agree wholeheartedly with @Roos85. Nazism exists in metal. We should be aware of that. However, it's hardly enough to warrant a, quote, problem. Yet, #MetalTwitter seems to believe there is an ontological crisis of Nazism in metal. Whether this is a result of genuine fears, virtue signaling, self-flagellation, etc., is unclear. In 6 years of research...
Oh no, he's rolling his R's.
I have found that a good number, parentheses, not all, of the black metal musicians and bands who claim to be Nazis
on no such thing. Any statements that were made that had... Ah, sorry. Let me start that again. In 6 years of research, I have found that a good number, parentheses, not all, of the black metal musicians and bands who claim to be Nazis are no such thing. Any statements they have made were designed to shock and enhance a performative, transgressive element of their music. I'm not generalizing here. There are NS contingencies hiding everywhere. But as long as we are aware and conscious of what we consume, then it's not going to be a problem.
Is this guy claiming that bands are stealing Nazi valor?
This guy's claiming that he did 6 years of research with... What? Like, did you go to the library? Were you traveling the world, like, speaking to black metal gurus and scientists? 6 years of research. What
I'm
the
glad
fuck?
That, I'm so, glad that half a decade of research all led up to this one tweet that probably had six likes.
So,
three.
So, in one of those being that Rius 88 guy, right?
88, thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is the kind of thing that was happening while you were gone. And, of course, people are dumb and show their whole ass in the public forum. But it is good in the sense that there are – it lets you know there are people out there that actually think like this or gaslight into making you think that they think like this.
Right, right. And they all write for Metal Hammer.
So. Got them.
Just collectively, like, all of them were all upon this. Every Metal Hammer editor that was once in my friends list and immediately was not after this is just, you know, I don't know why it's a, it must be a Eurocentric thing to assume there isn't a problem, because I've seen plenty of people get the shit kicked out of them by, like, Nazi skinheads at shows in America. I don't know if everybody who happens to be a Nazi in Europe is just a huge pussy now, but... It's just maybe they just don't see it. Maybe when you're living in a place with sheep and rolling green hills and that's the only thing you fucking see out your, like, little shanty, then maybe it must not be a problem.
I believe they call them cottages. I mean, just looking at, like, what is an indisputable global wave of fascism, to go ahead and just go ahead and put your nose in the conversation and say, actually... No, you're the one that's... You're wrong about this. What you're seeing, you're not actually seeing. You're virtue signaling to people. That's my favorite dumb guy thing, is say virtue signaling, which means that you care about something.
I immediately ignore whatever someone is saying if they use the term virtue signaling.
Well, it's the thing about virtue signaling is that it's implying that in my head, I'm just like, I can't stand these fucking N-words anymore, but I'm going to pretend like I like them because I want good brownie points. You know, it's like, what? Are you fucking serious? Do you really think that, like, are you so cynical that you think that anybody and everybody has to be racist deep down inside and we're just performing, like, non-racism? For good, so that we can, you know, get pats on the head from everybody.
Yeah, what am I gaining here by, like, pretending to be a good person? Like, I don't think I'm getting anything out of it. I think that's just, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm missing out on, like, getting like, I don't even know what the benefit here could possibly be. What, just not getting yelled at, maybe?
It's like the worst people in the world are billionaires. They all have been. So it's like, clearly I'm not doing well by having some moral value to myself. But two subjects that continually get brought up when people gaslight like this, and they're very, very proud of this, and they say it all of the time, they equate anti-fascist sensibilities within the scene. They equate it to either the PMRC or Satanic Panic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they think it's like the 1-2 punch. They think it's the gotcha for anybody who's dealing with this. And I actually will see, like, leftists kind of back down when they see this because it's such a great fucking argument. But the problem with that argument is that it's completely fucking stupid. due to the fact that the PMRC and Satanic Panic were reactions from a completely separate outside generation from the generation that was involved. Like, you had the Washington Wives with PMRC. They were all boomers. They were all Christian. They were all white and rich, and they were all pissed off about new music and what the kids were listening to these days. And the same thing with Satanic Panic. It's all fucking outsider shit. And literally everybody I've seen who's involved with any sort of, again, anti-fascist sensibility within the scene have been people who've been metal fans their entire lives. So it's a little different, if not extremely fucking different.
Got so.
And there's the siren that, you know, shows that.
That means you win.
Yeah. The good take police have come to take you away. No, I agree completely with you. And the other thing that because I've had people that claim that they're leftists anyway come at me with that kind of same PMRC censorship stifling free speech argument when I suggest that, hey, maybe you ought to, you know, not tell people all the time to listen to Grand Belial's Key. It is so terribly frustrating for me to have to deal with people that are ostensibly on your side, but just are unwilling to let go of their fucking hobby horse band and see the forest for the trees.
Yeah, if anyone brings up PMRC false equivalency, I just call them Ree Snyder now.
Oh, God.
So it's just like, why don't you shut the fuck up and stop and back up, and we can talk about what the subject matter the PMRC had issue with, what the subject matter the Satanic Panic people had issue with. Let's fucking talk about that. Like, what were they upset about? They're upset about profanity, drugs,
and sex. Blackie Lawless's terrible voice.
Well, I mean, we're
terrible
all
terrible crotch.
Look, if they could censor Blackie Lawless, we're all better for it. But they didn't. They failed, unfortunately. Dee Snider won that war. So, but it's just like, so they've taken the word political correctness, and it doesn't mean the pearl clutching Christian white lady who runs off to church to tell her group about the Prince lyrics she overheard her daughter hearing. They now have warped it into, don't be a person who wants to kill every Muslim on the planet, please. And like, oh, you pussy, you fucking pearl clutcher. Politically correct one wild. It's like, are you serious? Just can we talk about this, really? Because it's an immense difference. And when we actually talk about, well, what's the thing you want to sing about? What's the freedom you want to have? If we get into that conversation, it's a shitty one. It always is.
It always comes down to some variation of, please just let me say the N-word.
You know, I see it as how you can't, like, shout fire in a movie theater. You can't yell bomb on a plane because there's, like, public health and safety issues. And I kind of see it the same way as with some of these, like, virulently racist and anti-Semitic bands saying, like, go out and spill Jew blood or something like that. Like, how is that really any different?
I don't know. That's a good. I could see how somebody might make the argument that it's within the confines of fantasy, but when you look at the real world arrangement of NSBM groups being a sanctionally militias for white supremacist group movements, it's harder to make that argument, which they definitely are. And I mean, we've looked at, like, the Ukrainian neo-Nazi groups that are involved with, like, Malath, or however you pronounce that terrible, terrible fucking band, is someone called 88 Finger Death Punch. I mean, they're a real threat. They are armed. They have a body count in the case of who's the group that most recently fucking blanking on it.
Operation Werewolf?
Well, Operation Werewolf doesn't have much of a body count yet, but look for that to change because
they have a sexy body count.
Look for that to change because, like any group of extremely armed reactionary meatheads, they're going to kill somebody. and you know, your Peter Bests of the world will have cool photographs to take of the violence. That's nice. No, I was thinking of that 4chan black metal group that has actually killed people.
Hmm.
Oh God. Give me a sec.
QAnon. I don't know.
Oh. Is it the guy with the misshapen head?
Yeah,
whose name? He went by Rape or something.
Yeah,
like
the
that?
Guy with the real fucked up head. What is his group?
Oh, it's some German name.
Oh, Adam.
Oh, Adam Waffen. Okay, well, I'm going to cut out that last little bit there. And
yeah.
Yeah, you've got like that group that has an actual body count. Adam Waffen. Adam Waffles.
Adam Waffles.
They're,
I go for some Adam Waffles, man. It's fucking. I'm fucking hungry.
Yeah, their president looks like his skull has been beaten in with a crowbar. But it only looks that way. It hasn't been done yet.
And that's the Übermensch. That's the genetic superior human being right there.
I guarantee you that guy is all of 5'2".
Whose head looks like a dented orange.
Yeah.
And now, guys, you got might not like it, but it's what pure performance looks like.
And now you got this guy from Louisiana that's supposedly into black metal, burning historically black churches.
Yeah, I want you guys to tell me a little bit about this, because this happened while I was gone, and it seems real fucked up. What exactly happened?
So, in a nutshell, there were church burnings in Louisiana. Didn't get a lot of press. Shocking, I know. And they finally have a suspect who is the son of a local police officer, by the way. Convenient. And apparently he is into black metal music, has a band, I think, called Vodka Vultures. I think that's the running, not theory, but
that is the worst black metal band name I've ever heard in my life.
And people pointed to he had liked some like Varg Vikernes memes on Facebook and a couple other things. So when this story came out and the black metal connection came out, there was, of course, the mainstream media reaction of, you know, black metal music made this kid do this, or black metal music is the problem, and not really going into it because they don't know. It's like, you know, someone from the Daily Beast, like, writing about black metal. It's just, it's a thing they might have heard of once, and they're probably confusing it with, like, death metal, or did a quick Google search.
An extreme form of death metal. It was like, well, in the 90s, well,
and then there's kind of the reaction to those initial stories also from people not involved in the metal scene, saying sort of it's kind of the same thing as like Marilyn Manson being blamed for Columbine, and how it's just a knee-jerk reaction from the media to blame art in general, and they shouldn't do that. And then there was kind of people in our scene that are like, well, we actually need to talk about this.
Yeah. I mean, God, I hate that comparison to Marilyn Manson, because it doesn't make any sense. It was basically a move to push off any blame that could be credibly assigned to people that were to blame, and putting it on some totally unrelated guy, where this is clearly related. And, I mean, I don't know. It seems like fascist art is an oxymoron to me, man.
I think it's just the rush to find one answer. It's like, well, it's got to be the music. Well, it's got to be he's a racist. Well, it's got to be he's the son of a police officer. It's like, how about all of it? How about, you know, there are lots of different moving parts to this that can affect a person to do stupid, horrible, awful things like this?
I mean, I've mentioned this on the show multiple times, but like my father is a chief, like a police chief. I don't want to burn anybody down. I don't. It's got nothing to
FBI
do with that.
Start listening to this.
FBI, start listening to this. Because, I mean, if the FBI hasn't been listening to this, they've been fucking up. Let's just make that clear right now.
Well, I mean, they haven't been, because you're within the thin blue line. So we're actually safe. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah. I mean, my dad's in internal affairs, so that's not true.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Fuck. Sorry, man. But, I mean, there's moving parts to it, sure. But people are very instant to be like, well, he could have been inspired by being son of a cop. And I mean, even people within the scene were saying things like, it's not black metal, it has nothing to do with black metal. But nobody's really asking the question, like, why does black metal specifically have such an intense draw for these immense fuckheads? Why? Like, can we have that conversation, please? Can we just stop pushing it aside? And I mean, look, at the end of the day, yeah, black metal is a guitar form. It's a drum style. It's a vocal style. That's all it really ever will be. And you have all sorts of people who will disagree with me. And then, okay, let's talk about why you disagree with me. And then it's like, oh, because it's all about hating Jews. That train's never late, right, Jordan?
That's right. Choo choo.
Did you say juju?
No, I said choo choo, but if you want.
I don't mean to laugh so hard. It was just, it caught me by surprise. And it, yeah, okay, Jordan said choo choo. That's on the record, okay.
Let's do this John McLaughlin style. Let's go around the circle. I want everybody to jump to their quickest conclusion of why it is they think that these people are attracted to black metal in the first place. All right? Is that does that make sense to you? Does that question make sense?
Yeah.
All right. Jordan, you're up first. You're on the hot seat.
Low IQ.
Interesting. I was going to go with skull shape, but...
Part and parcel.
Breno, what do you got?
Well, I think that black metal has a long history of trying to be the darkest, most evil genre, right? So we have a lot of talk of Satan, because Satan is like the rebellion to the main Christian majority. It's all about, you know, being an outlier, being an outcast, being somebody who doesn't mesh with society. And you're going to get that a lot with basically pretty, for lack of a better term, kind of squeaky clean black metal. I mean, a lot of the guys who will acknowledge that it's just a fantasy bit, and I'm not talking about what this complete fucking moron from Twitter was saying, where the Nazism is a fantasy. I'm talking about where the Satanism is a fantasy, where the evil and the violence from the evil in those lyrics is a fantasy kind of thing. And you're going to get that everywhere, obviously, with death metal. Even power metal. I mean, Manowar hasn't hit nobody with a sword. Shut the fuck up, Manowar, you know? So you have this whole concept that black means evil. It's darkness. It's true void of lightness. I don't know. So people out there who are just bad people and like to be bad people and will do everything they possibly can to prove they're bad people, they lose the fantasy bit. They think that this is real deal. This is what we need to do to prove ourselves as black and evil and purely horrible as possible. And black metal is just, that's the draw, man. I mean, imagine if Ted Bundy or Jeffrey Dahmer made music. I guarantee you there's tons of these salacious true crime fuckheads online who would love that music and listen to it specifically because they worship these morons, right?
Yeah, I mean, people listen to Charles Manson's terrible folk music.
Of course they do, yeah. And the reason for that is because he killed people, and he's a murderer, and that's what made him famous. So you have the same thing with Varg Vikernes. You have the same thing with Faust from Emperor, and the lead singer from Absurd, and you know, Gall from Gargaroth, like taking a guy to his basement and torturing him for 2 days. I mean, you have these guys who do legitimate fucked up crimes, and so it adds a realness to this fantasy, and it makes all these other guys want to live it out because they feel like they have something to prove here. I know I'm rambling, but I think that it's just a cross where some guys can acknowledge it's fantasy. Some guys can just, you know, make black metal and make it be about, you know, wind spirits of woods and ice and frozen tundras and satanic rites and witchcraft and whatever. And then you got guys who will take that evil to the very literal, realistic step. And the most evil people in the world were fascists. So,
yeah, like I said, low IQ.
Yeah.
I think something that, because we're in our 30s and we're old and we suck shit now, something that we often lose sight of is that metal is youth rebellion music. And it's, you know, we all got into it when we were young. That's a part of it. When you're young, you're wanting this new thing, you're wanting to feel all these feelings, for me with the metal, it was kind of like a way to plug all of my aggression into one thing, of which I had a lot. And when people get into things when they're young, they get really, really into them because you don't have shit going on. You're a kid. I mean, get a fucking job, kid. Seriously. In doing so, some people, you know, lose sight of reality going down this rabbit hole of genre to genre. And with black metal specifically, like you said, Breno, this is the one that bills itself as the most evil and the most black and the most satanic. You have people within this scene that are fully aware of these impressionable youths going into it, and I feel like people within the black metal scene actively target these kids and try to bring them around to their worldview, which is to say, inherently hateful fascist ideology. They get these kids and basically, you know, try to brainwash them into whatever dumb bullshit that you believe. And, you know, sometimes, you know, very rarely, but sometimes those kids go on to commit heinous crimes, and the idea is that you don't want to, you know, you want to nip that in the bud, give them something positive to focus on instead of. And the most likely scenario out of this is that you end up with a 45-year-old piece of shit that calls himself the black metal elitist asshole or something like that on Facebook and posts up an edgy meme about no lives mattering. You just have your garden variety pussy fascist.
I mean, since I was in a black metal band personally, it's like, yeah, it's a thing. You get a draw for guys that are all sorts of flavor of asshole. And I talked about this on Twitter before, and I kind of put it to rest because I'm getting tired of the back and forth with arguing with random fuckheads on Twitter who will word search like liberalism or whatever so that they can argue with you. So I try not to do it too much. But in the times I do, I will say that there's a spectrum of right-wing asshole, and it starts off fairly small. I mean, you got your Fox News grandma, right? But it only goes farther and farther from there. And a lot of that shit is deeply rooted in just anti-humanist ideology. Just this fear of the other, fear of immigrants, fear of alternative cultures, fear of alternative religions, whatever, where they kind of come up with their own ideas of what other people may be like or might look like or act like. And yeah, if you have a lot of people from another country that don't have a lot of anything, of course, crime will go up because desperation will bring about crime. And these people have nothing, and they're treated very poorly when they come over here. So you have the things that happen in Europe where you have migrants causing problems, and people will put down their fucking cell phone, and you'll have crime rates in high poverty places where there's a lot of immigrants there because they really can't afford anywhere else. And, you know, it just breeds this contempt, and that contempt takes a lot of shapes. It will be some fuckhead with wraparound sunglasses and a sign. It will be a guy who takes an automatic weapon and shoots up an entire mosque. And honestly, the more that this goes on, those lines get less and less blurry. And it's like, what side of the line are you fucking on at this point?
It's a good question.
I just know what side of the line I'm on. And yeah, I understand life is gray areas. And yeah, I understand that sometimes you have to hear quote unquote both sides. But I'm tired of listening to the side, man. The one side that seems to always be fucking wrong. And when I choose the side that I was on, I recognize that when people go online and they tell me that it's not a problem that there's all these Nazis doing this, or there's all these right-wing assholes doing what they do or voting the way that they vote or oppressing the rights that they oppress. It's like, clearly, who are you helping? What's your life mission? And I know what mine is, and I just want to know what the fuck yours is if you're doing shit like this.
I'll tell you, man. I was put on this earth to do one thing and one thing only, and that is to preserve the status quo.
Right. What a great idea.
By the way, I met a bunch of Swedes in a bar in Tokyo, and we chatted with these guys for like 3 hours at this bar called Deathmatch in Hell that played heavy metal and horror movies on the walls. It's very cool. Anyway, they I don't know how it came up, but essentially they told me that the migrant crisis of crime or whatever is total bullshit. So getting an inside perspective from the Swedes, good to know.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I only get the news that I get. And someone will, I mean, one of the favorite pastimes of right-wingers is showing you a video or an article proving that, oh, this is how they all act, with the one fucking article or example of something bad that they did. It's just like a channel in your brain that must be missing, where you just refuse to individualize human beings as, you know, each other and people, and, you know, I don't get it. Oh, well.
Low IQs.
Thank you. I should just stop talking.
Jordan, does it bother you that your go-to is the same as the skull caliper people?
No, I mean, I'm kidding when I say that. But they are dumb as shit.
Yeah, no, that's true. That is true. Dumb in a way that is not measurable by intelligence quotient
right,
points or whatever the fuck.
Or calipers.
I'm joking when I say that.
No. You take that back about the calipers. The calipers work for everything.
Maybe in the case of Adam Waffles, but
yeah, man. So I think it's real fucked up. The thing yesterday was an old historic church burned down, and a lot of people are really verklempt about that. Is that the right word, Jordan?
Well, I don't think you'd want to use Yiddish for a church, but
well, I was told that the Judeo-Christian ideology was what this country was built upon.
that's where it needs to save it.
And the church was built, what, 20 years before Jews were expelled from France?
There is, somebody pointed out, like, the statue of Synagogia on the church basically being shamed by, I don't know, Captain Jesus or some shit. I don't follow any of this. I don't care about it. I'm saying that, like, it's real fucked up that... granted, Notre Dame is a big thing for folks because they love Disney or whatever, but it's real fucked up that an actual place of worship for communities of black people within a place like Louisiana, which is so heavily segregated and incredibly fucking racist, it's fucked up that that hasn't generated nearly as much discussion, at least, you know, from when I've gotten online anyway.
Well, I guess the Notre Dame thing was just a really, really big fire. And we need a lot of orange to make the news, you know?
Yeah, somebody said that it took basically a forest's worth of wood to build that church, to which I say, that's dumb as shit, dude. Just use MDF. It's better.
That's a stucco.
Yeah, it could have fixed that with a little bit of asbestos, geniuses.
I got some gum, some spackle. We'll fix it.
Yeah.
Some cellophane instead of stained glass.
And you get a lot of dopes on Twitter who are just like, oh, shut up, they'll rebuild it. And I'm just like, why? How?
Well, to be fair, they will. They got already pledged
$600 million.
$600 million fucking dollars to rebuild this church-ass church, man.
Yeah, but as you just said, man, it's like centuries and centuries old wooden architecture that was just masterfully crafted is just totally up in smoke. It's fucking gone. An entire pyre is just lost to the flames, if not several.
And then everyone had bad jokes. So
yeah.
I had bad. Yeah, it's. I mean, come on. We all know that Varg Vikernes is in France.
I had a bad joke, but it was, and it offended some guy, and I didn't get it because I thought it was a very inoffensive, dumb joke. I mean, if anything, I'm guilty of being corny. I thought the idea was funny. Pierre's Construction, the contractor that won't burn down your centuries-old cathedral.
Can you imagine being the guy that fucked up?
How dare you, sir?
It's some lazy French laborer putting out a cigarette in the rafters. All right, we gotta finish this one before we actually get racist. just kidding.
So you're glad you're back now?
Yeah, man, I'm glad to be back. To be honest, it was that 2 weeks was one of the best times I've ever had in my life. I am so happy to be married to my beautiful wife, and that we got to experience this once in a lifetime trip for us. And if anybody wants to hear me ramble about Japan, just hit me up. That's probably better suited for like me talking at you rather than on a podcast where we talk at you.
Excellent. Well, I'm gonna give you bros the chance to keep it metal, and we will see you next week.
Love you.
Bye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.